Don't spend another winter with your home colder than it should be. Hi, I'm Roy Spencer with PermaSeal. We measure the amount of heat loss and recommend solutions to keep it comfortable. Call PermaSeal for your free estimate, 800-421-SEAL, or visit permaseal.net.
My love, she speaks like silence, without ideals or violence. She doesn't have to say she's faithful, yet she's true. Like ice, like fire. People carry roses.
Good evening, everybody. This is Rick Kogan. The show is After Hours. That's the voice of Joan Baez singing Bob Dylan. I know you were expecting maybe Prince, but I have heard an awful lot of Prince today. I admired Prince. That Prince was great, but I think Purple Rain's a great song, but I think if I hear Purple Rain one more time today, my head is going to explode. And I heard from Allison Cuddy is here, my old friend, formerly of BEZ and now with the Humanities Festival. And Allison, I heard from so many people today. Oh, man, I haven't heard Prince. I haven't listened to Prince in like 10, 15 years. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm playing these two. Joan Baez is 75, Bob Dylan, 74. Nobody, I'm sure they're in great health, but nobody lives forever.
Right.
If you love somebody, indulge yourself while they're still around. So
listen,
you don't
to
have
music.
To have this. I mean, it's justified, don't you think, this whole Prince mania?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I think we were talking about this before we went on the air. There's sort of the suddenness, like the unexpectedness, like you're talking about.
Yeah.
But just the, I mean, his music, incredible. And then I think that there's something about the fact that he stayed in Minneapolis.
I think that is
and he
so
did everything there.
True. Yeah.
It's not like he was going out and like having, you know, breakfast in the diner every
right,
Sunday or something,
right.
But he was like a part of that community. And I find that fascinating. Like he marched to the beat of his own drum or whatever cliche I could roll out. And he did it his way, right? And
yeah.
I really, really admire that. And it's hard to point to people. I mean, maybe someone like Beyonce who just, you know, released her latest kind of epic Lemonade, who is constantly reinventing herself and doing things differently. Maybe she's someone that we'll think of like Prince, but
it's kind of, yeah. I mean, the problem being, too, Allison Cuddy, and we're going to spend this whole hour together. Allison and I are old friends that we are, and we will get to the Humanities Festival and all the interesting things going on with that, because that's not where Allison works, is that we are due for. This is going to happen. I know Prince was only 57, but you've got this huge crowd. You've got many people who were the soundtrack of our lives, our generation, younger generation, mm-hmm. who are going to, because, you know, this may come as news to you people, but everybody does die. Everybody does die.
Well, Billy Paul just died today. Me and Mrs. Jones. I
yeah.
love that song.
Yeah.
You know, and someone many people have said was like, just, you know, never got the acclaim that he deserved. And we've seen a lot of like, you know, David Bowie, a lot of people, Fife Dog dying over the last little while.
Yeah.
But you know, the thing about Prince is I don't think people ever stopped listening to his music. If you look, he kept touring.
Yeah. You're, no, he did.
Have, like,
he toured.
Hits,
he toured aggressively. No
yeah.
kidding. And he kept. He also kept writing. I don't know, for instance, what Paul McCartney's last 10 songs were. I know he tours aggressively, too.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of Beatles stuff. That's going to be a big one. That's going to be a big one. Okay, Allison Cuddy, before
All
we
right.
get to the Humanities Festival, you were among the great talents in radio in this town that has a lot of great talents. You did a number of things at WBZ. You decided to leave. It's almost 2 years.
Yep, it'll be 2 years in May, and it's almost May, right?
I always got the sense, and I'm actually getting it now just watching you talk into a microphone, that you loved radio.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I grew up on radio. I was born in Winnipeg, and so I grew up listening to the CBC, but also to like shows like yours, the late night AM disc jockeys. I was one of those kids that like fell asleep with the radio under my pillow.
Yeah.
You know, I loved it. I loved the medium. I love music. I think part of it, like a lot of people now, radio is a pipeline. I mean, not in the way that it was when I was growing up, but it's a pipeline to music. But it's those personalities too that I found really interesting, and connecting with people through their voice and the things that they have to say.
Yeah.
There's a, it's a different kind of relationship than if you're watching someone, for me anyway, on television.
Well, I think it's there's an intimacy to it that you're not going to get from TV, and you're certainly not going to get from watching a movie on
right.
your phone.
It's like watching or reading a novel, right? You can project a lot of things. You can marvel at what someone's doing, but you can also put a lot of things onto them that may have nothing to
yes,
do with them.
Absolutely.
So you
yes.
have a lot of agency in that regard.
What did you do? You did a lot at BEZ.
WBEZ.
WBEZ.
Yeah, I did. I did. I mean, I think thanks to people like Tori Malatia, because I didn't have a background in journalism. I had a humanities background. You know, I was doing a PhD. So I came to it with none of the experience someone like you has, and I worked on a live show that was going national. That was my first gig, a show called Odyssey that
sure,
Gretchen Helfrich hosted.
Well, yeah.
It was a great job, and figuring out how to take a local show and make it a national show. But I ended up doing a lot of things. When that show ended, I worked on 848, the show that I eventually hosted, but I worked as a very inept producer. I'm amazed at Steve Edwards. One of the most gracious people in...
And one of the great, most talented people.
And one of the most great, talented people, yes. I learned a lot from him, but he put up with a lot from me, I think, because I was not that good at it. And then started hosting, and I was always amazed because I'm a fairly shy person. I did not like public speaking. And
you've gotten very good. I've seen you do some public... No, I'm serious. I've seen you do some public
tonight.
Events, and I think... Anybody who might be inherently shy gets over it relatively quickly, don't you think, or did you not?
It took me a while, but I think doing this is what helped me get over it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And this was something, again, it's that intimacy, because you can think, I'm just talking to one person right now. There's not like 400 people sitting there watching me.
Right.
I'm just talking to one person, and I can project who that person is, so...
But also the thing that I think always distinguished you in any interview setting I've seen you, whether it's on, you know, the stage of the Harold Washington Library or some other venue, is you are inherently curious. I hope you take that as a compliment.
I do. Thank you.
Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I think I'm not a specialist necessarily. I don't have like a deep groove that is really consumes me, is all consuming. I am interested in a lot of different things. And maybe it's because of the program I worked on, Odyssey, where we covered politics and the Supreme Court, and we had a film program every Friday. You know, you kind of have to bounce around a lot. And
well, but then being a generalist, I just, it's the old way the University of Chicago used to run. You just went to school and studied whatever you want and mm-hmm. wrote a paper and got out. And it was not, I sort of bridle at this age of specialization where you have to know everything in the world about politics. And look at the idiots on TV, you know, who profess to know a lot about politics. It's the same crap. The generalist, I think, is the most valuable kind of intellectual curiosity.
Well, I mean, it works for me, and maybe I don't know. I mean, I admire people who have that depth of knowledge,
oh, sure.
you know. I mean, we bring some amazing people to the festival, say.
No question.
Some of the great historians, and you just think, how does their mind work and what's in their mind that they've mastered, you know? I mean, not everything. Nobody does everything.
Right.
But they know, you know, they know American history in a particular way, say. Or, you know, that kind of like in-depth discipline study. There's something incredible about that.
Well, that's one of the things that distinguishes the Humanities Festival from any other kind of festival that I know. We got to take a break, but I want to talk about what makes it stuns me, Allison Cuddy, that the Humanities Festival is 25 years old.
I know.
It absolutely stuns me. I remember when it started, it was like one day, right?
Mm-hmm.
One day, six goofs sitting somewhere. It might have been at one venue. We'll take a little break. We'll be right back.
You must leave now. Take what you need. You think will last. But whatever you wish to keep, you'd better grab it fast.
Yonder. Welcome back to After Hours. I'm just trying to remind you people that a lot of great people who are the soundtracks of our lives are still alive and kicking. That is, of course, Joan Baez singing Bob Dylan. They had a fling at one point that I think she would sing my songs equally well. Allison Cuddy is my guest for this entire hour. She is a former host, producer, a lot of things at WBEZ Radio, and for the last 2 years has been the Associate Artistic Director of the Chicago Humanities Festival. The Humanities Festival is 25 years old. If I had had to guess, I would have guessed 15. But 25, it has become an essential part of the lives of thousands of people in this area. How'd that happen? What void did you fill, or what did you invent? I know you haven't been there for 25
right,
years.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that the initial impulse was that, and it's sort of the way I think of it now, like we're a platform for disseminating the humanities, right, to a general audience.
Yeah.
That we were just talking about universities and who goes and who doesn't, and I mean, in some ways, you don't need a university degree to have an appreciation for history, literature, any of that, right?
Right,
But where can you have that experience? And the Humanities Festival started to fill that void. And it, you're right, it started out as like a one-day event.
I think as I remember like, it, was, maybe it's in here somewhere. I remember it as a one-day thing.
It was at the Art Institute.
Here it is, yeah. Grown from 8 programs in one day at a single venue to 160 programs year-round at more than 25 venues in and around Chicago.
Right. I think they were actually wearing togas that first one.
Is that right?
That's what I always say. I'm sticking to it.
But I think it also says, one of the reasons I've loved the Humanities Festival, I didn't go to every one event they do, but it feeds the sort of curiosity that people have for a variety of things. Going back to the point where there's, we live in an age pretty much of specialization. And of mm-hmm. course, if you just want to hear Arianna Huffington talk, you can go hear her talk. But the topic she is going to be, let me just say, the style aspect of the Chicago Humanities Festival is April 28th to May 1st. There's also a very special thing coming up May 15th that Allison Cuddy is deeply involved in that I want to spend some time talking about too. But Arianna Huffington, The Sleep Revolution.
Right.
I mean, it's intriguing, certainly intriguing on the face of it. What is that?
This is her new book, which I've been reading because I'm going to interview her on Thursday night, the 28th. It's about how none of us get enough sleep, right? Which
is this her book?
It's her book, The Sleep Revolution. So it's kind of a bringing together all this new, I mean, there's a sleep industry out there, you know, all the new science on sleep.
Oh, yeah.
So not only why it's bad if we don't sleep, but also what's happening when we sleep, like what's happening to our brains, what's happening to our bodies.
Do I really want to know that?
Well,
should I know it?
You should. Okay. You should. I mean, that there's, and you know, that, but also there's things that we don't know about sleep, which is equally intriguing. Like, you know, think about dreams in this period where we're suddenly not aware of ourselves, we're gone, right?
It strikes me that Arianna Huffington would be a person, because she's so, who gets very little sleep.
Right. Well, that's apparently what inspired it, because she fainted from exhaustion and broke her cheekbone and sort of had this awakening. And she's been writing in this vein. She had this earlier book called Thrive, which was, you know, about, you know, it's not just about how much money you make. There's all these other things that are important to accumulate as you move forward in life. Wisdom is one that she was really focusing on, and wellness. And I think the sleep stuff comes out of this because she's been talking about it for a couple of years.
Now, how does this fit? How does this fit into the umbrella
into the
of style?
Style, yeah.
I mean, she is unquestionably a stylish human being,
right? And I mean, I think some of this. So, style we've interpreted very broadly because if I said style to you, I think one of the things you'd immediately think about is what you just said,
yeah,
clothing and
sure.
appearance,
of course,
right, fashion.
Yeah.
But we are thinking about style as something that's really important to how we appreciate or experience or understand art more broadly. You know, film. Think
sure.
about the style of
sure.
film. Literature. And then lifestyle. Lifestyle is this booming industry, right? And it's something that we didn't necessarily talk about in those terms before, but we think about, like, think of something like Pinterest, where it's all about us displaying our lifestyle preferences, whether it's the kind of art we like or the, you know, the period of design that we're into.
Well, this whole you know, sort of internet universe makes, used to, if you had a style, it was, you know, I think back to, you know, someone wearing a zoot suit or something,
right,
or someone
right,
having
right.
a mustache. But now you're right, because you necessarily parade your style in front of thousands, if you care to do that.
Yes, exactly. Thousands. I mean, and I think that's part of what happens when someone like Prince dies. I mean, obviously, we're very sad. We've lost this great talent. But then it's also about, look how important Prince was to my life. Like, I didn't know Prince, but that music and, you know, that movie, Purple Rain, those happen at formative moments in my life, and they still continue to me, shape me. So that, to
but
me
also
is,
that same person is saying, and you people who I'm sending this out to, you somehow need to know this about
exactly.
me.
Exactly. This yeah. will reveal something about me, my choices like that.
So and my musical taste, which is right. sort of under the umbrella right. of style.
Or even my taste in cereal or tea or, you know, it's become to that point.
That's fascinating. Yeah.
So I think Arianna Huffington reflects that, this interest in lifestyle and why it's so important. But then, you know, there's this whole other level at which she's obviously had a huge influence, which is the media and media coverage. I mean, Huffington Post was
sure.
concocted as a collective blog and a 24/7 news platform.
Yeah.
And she transformed the way that we think about media and maybe why some of us aren't getting a lot of sleep, because we're both tuning in.
Just listening to you talk, Allison Cuddy, it makes me think, because I don't know, how fascinating it must be for you and the other people at the Humanities Festival to start to formulate something. Because no one, it wasn't like, oh, let's do S's and style and then fit. You have to conceptualize these things.
Yeah.
Those conversations must be amazing. How long does it take? It probably takes at least a year, right?
It takes a while. I think we started talking about style around this time last year, or maybe a little bit later. And then it takes a while, you know, you have to first, yeah, what are the ideas? Like, you kind of have to sell it in a way internally.
Sure.
Can people see, find their way into it? Can I think of people that I would like to bring under the umbrella of style? And then what are the ideas we're going to explore? How do we develop the language to even talk about that, you know?
And then going out to find provocative and or interesting and or articulate people who can address this
right.
to a large audience.
Yeah. So it takes a while, and some of the conversations are quite heated.
Oh, I'll bet. How many people, you don't have to name them, but how many people generally are involved in the informing
the ideas?
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately it extends out, because there are, you know, we all have our friends and our network
sure.
that we tap, like I'll call people and say, you know, I'm doing this festival on style. What do you think? Who should I bring? But I mean, inside, there's really just a handful of us. There's the artistic director, Jonathan Elmer, and myself. And then there's really three other people on the programming team. And then we have some production people, but it's small.
How fun. But
it is really fun.
How wonderful. What a beautiful sort of creative environment that must be.
Yes.
You know, tense, but still,
right.
that's what.
Yeah, you can't be creative without stepping on other people's toes.
Yeah, you can't. Of course you can't.
Yeah, I mean, we try not to, but it happens.
So you are interviewing Arianna Huffington.
Yes, I'm a little nervous.
Thursday from 6 to 7 at the Francis Parker School, where now there's 2230. Go to, for this and everything else, and Cuddy and I will talk about, go to chicagohumanities.org. It's a great website. You can get
Thank
tickets
you.
For things that aren't sold out yet. And should I break now? You want to break now? We have a lovely new producer named Elif, who will be in here next week to explain who she is and how she's ever going to deal with someone as high maintenance as me.
Right.
The great Adam Phillips is engineering tonight. We'll take a break, then we'll get some news, and Alice and I will continue talking about creativity, life, and the Chicago Humanities Festival.
clouds so swift, rain won't lift, gate won't close, the railings froze. Get your mind off winter time, you ain't going nowhere. Ooh-wee, ride me
high. If Allison Cuddy wasn't my guest, I would just sit here and play this whole CD for you for the whole hour. That's Joan Baez singing Bob Dylan, and I just... I respect everything that Prince did. I can't hear any more Prince right now, maybe next week. And it occurs to me I should have listened to him 2 weeks ago. He's a great performer.
Yeah.
Bob Dylan is 74. Joan Baez is 75. If you love some performer, why don't you listen to him while they're still alive? I think there's a vastly different kind of thing. Yeah, as opposed to wallowing the sadness of their music and, ooh, it's over. Music, yeah. Music will last forever. Allison Cuddy is going to be interviewing Arianna Huffington as part of the Chicago Humanities Style Bash, which goes on from April 29th to May 1st. It's an hour-long conversation.
Yes.
Are you nervous?
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, because she's Arianna Huffington.
She's Arianna Huffington, and, you know, I wanted to be a good interview, and... I think it'll be fascinating, though. I was just listening to her on another podcast, and she sounds fun. It's a fun book.
You have a lot of people coming in for this thing. I won't mention every single one of them. Locally, Maria Pinto, who's a fascinating... She's a fascinating person. You know her?
Yeah, yeah. I'm really excited that she's part of the festival.
Yeah, she's really interesting. She's bounced back in a big way from a sort of downturn in her business as one of the leading designers here. And this guy... Carl Nasgaard, if that's how you say his name.
I think so. We've talked a lot about it inside. Carl Ove Nasgaard.
Yeah, yes. I don't see why. It's only serial killers who have these three names. this guy fascinates me. I have read one of his books.
You did?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, do I really talk about it? It is... You try to find a word for me or a phrase for me, Allison Cuddy, other than hypnotically self-indulgent.
I think people are really, they can't get enough of it. It's
I know.
I mean, it's the minutiae of his life, right?
Yes.
A.K.A. his struggle. The series of books are called My Struggle. Well, I think I say they have different titles, but My Struggle. And people can't get enough of this.
Have you read him?
I have not read Mr. Nasgaard. I'm fascinated, though, by these epic series, like the Ilana Ferrante.
The Naples series. I'll bet you his event is sold out.
It is close. It is close, I believe. I mean, look at him. He's a pretty handsome dude.
Yeah, no, he's very, he's movie star handsome. But Alicia Garza is another fascinating, she's... Saturday, April 30th, she is the co-creator of the Black Lives Matter movement and special projects director of the National Domestic Workers Alliance. Who's interviewing? When you decide, you, I suppose, Allison Cuddy, can have first choice. When Arianna Huffington's booked and she's all set and you can tell your colleagues, I want her. Is that how it works?
Well, you know, some people come with people that they want. For example...
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, there are people they're interested in talking to. Or it's not even that. It's like we try to figure out who the best match is, you know? And it's as much as I might want to interview someone, I also know that I'm not always the best choice. There might be someone else. Or not the best choice. It just, you know, there might be a different kind of energy.
Well, you're trying to get a dynamic to someone who would be passionately curious.
Yeah. So, you know, like, for example, George Wendt, who's going to be at the festival, which I'm really excited about. He's going to be talking with Dave Pasquese.
Oh, God, the great improviser.
Yeah. And they both come out of that same kind of era. I mean, different generations, but they went in such different ways.
Oh, no kidding.
So
no kidding.
It'll be fascinating to hear them talk. I mean, this is...
When is George? When is that?
That's April 30th, so it's Saturday, and it's at the Studebaker, which is, you know, the Fine Arts Building.
Sure, sure.
The newly renovated theater there.
Well, see, that's I think that's an inspired choice to have Pasquese do George Wendt. I really do.
Yeah, and to think about Chicago style in particular, so not just style in the broad sense, but what does Chicago style look like? And so Chicago style improv and those two talking about that.
Yeah, that's a big umbrella, too.
Like a master class.
Huh? Oh, no kidding. Yeah. No kidding. There'll be so many young people from Second City and I.O. sitting in that audience. Mm-hmm. When do you tell me, Allison Cuddy, how did George Wendt, who brought up George Wendt? How did this, not every single detail, but someone said, hey, maybe we should, what about comedic style or something?
Yeah. I mean, we often do comedy. We try to bring a lot of funny people, like whether it's the Fall Festival, which is our big thing, or our new Spring Festival. And I don't, you know, I mean, again, it is a group of people sitting around a table and throwing ideas out, right? Yeah. Who would be good? That effort to make sure that a percentage of the programs, I mean, we don't have like a number, but that we're trying to tap into Chicago talent as much as we're trying to bring people like Nausgaard, you know, this Norwegian writer from around the world to Chicago. But then we all kind of play around with it. Like, who are we going to pair him with? You were asking about Alicia Garza, and somebody found Jenna Wortham, who's a young reporter at the New York Times, who writes a lot about technology, but has also been following these kind of social movements and thinking how technology plays a role in that. So that's how that partnership came together. The person interviewing Nausgaard is Sheila Hetty, who was someone I actually wanted to bring to the festival, who's written... She's a great essayist, one of those young emerging voices.
Sure.
Wrote a book called Women in Clothing. And so she's going to be with Nausgaard, which I think is really interesting because here's this kind of like seemingly not tortured, but, you know, intense.
Oh, see, he's a little tortured.
Yeah.
There's something going on
intense
there.
Intense dude. And he's going to be with this young woman, which I think will be, I'm excited to see what that dynamic creates.
No question. No, I see exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
How, when you approach people, are they aware outside our universe of the Chicago Humanities Festival, and are they, do you have to pitch them hard?
We have to do a little bit of work. I mean, some people are aware of us and excited to come.
Oh, sure.
And then once they come, like, I think Juno Diaz said it was one of the greatest experiences he'd had. I was very happy because we brought Elvis Costello last year, and he said it was his favorite stop on his North American tour. You know, he just had a really great time because I think we do try to create the best possible platform for these people. Because, you know, everyone's on book tour and they go and they do their interviews and they do their sound bites.
Oh, it's the same old. It really is. And that's what distinguishes the Humanities Festival. Even if it's an author who is mid-tour or has books to sell, it's not about selling the books. It's about an exchange of ideas.
Yeah, yeah. And trying to put them on stage with someone who they can have a great conversation with and then give that audience that opportunity to really have ask a couple questions literally, but also hear a really meaningful exchange. Like, for me, ideas exist in that exchange. You know, we, of course, there are ideas, but it's in the moment of us all sharing and kind of coming together around them that the magic or the power of ideas happens.
Well put. I mean, it's a lot different than having an author come in and just talk about his book or read, you know, 5 pages of his or her latest book. My guest is Allison Cuddy. She's with the Humanities Festival, formerly of WBZ, one of the most talented and engaging and incisive interviewers in this town. And there are a lot of good interviewers in this town.
I'm speaking to one right now.
Well, that's nonsense, but Studs was a great one. Studs was a great one. We're talking about the Style series, the Chicago Humanities Festival, from April 29th to May 1st. Allison's interviewing Arianna Huffington at the Francis Parker School on Thursday. She's a little nervous, but she'll knock him dead there. Plus, Arianna Huffington knows how to be interviewed. You guys will be great. You'll be great together. Go to ChicagoHumanities.org and you can learn all about this series of events. And I will tell you when we get back from this short commercial break, for which there's nothing for me to read, about a really interesting Humanities Festival event. It's a one-day festival called Our Cities. Allison is front and center for that, along with our old mutual friend Natalie Moore, who has an amazing little book out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in a couple minutes, and Allison will be here till 10. That's Joan Baez singing Bob Dylan. Appreciate the people who have entertained you while they're still alive. Write Bob Dylan a letter. Write Joan Baez a letter. I've got only 10 minutes left with Allison Cuddy. We've been talking about Allison and her own life, her life post WBZ, which seems a wonderfully, she seems to have fallen into a wonderfully creative and rewarding environment with the Chicago Humanities Festival.
They're an amazing group.
You're part of it, honey. ChicagoHumanities.org will give you information about the style series of events coming up April 29th to May 1st. You can see Allison interview Arianna Huffington about her book, The Sleep Revolution at Francis Parker School, Thursday at 6 o'clock. You know, the other thing about the Humanities Festivals, the prices are really, really ridiculously normal.
It's a good deal.
It is a really good deal. You can become a member. There are all sorts of ways in which to do it. You can become a member. I want to talk about and ask you how this came to be. Sunday, May 15th, there is a Humanities Festival is launching its first ever one-day festival called Our Cities. I'm reading from a press release here, an exploration of the economic, social, and personal issues facing residents of the cities in our region. I can't believe you're going to take care of that in one day because there are, pressing problems. How did this come to be, Allison?
Well, you know, so I've been at the festival for 2 years, but we've had a new executive director for 3 years, 3 years now, Philip Bahar. And he's really, and I think rightly so, wanted to make clear that we're one of the cultural institutions of the city. So we have a big fall festival, but how can we be a presence year round? And so these ideas, doing a spring festival or doing a one-day festival, we're really hone in. I mean, it's one thing when you come to the, like last year we did Citizens in the fall and we had 130 programs, right? That's a lot.
That's a lot.
But to come for a day and hear six incredibly smart people tackle this, our cities, how do you tell the stories of our cities like in the most effective way and bring some of the most interesting writers, photographers, storytellers, narrators who are working in different mediums together.
Yeah.
And so we'll, like you say, scratch the surface. But Natalie Moore.
Natalie of WBZ.
WBZ.
The author of a new book called The South Side, which is basically her life story in the city of Chicago.
Right, growing up on the South Side.
She's a smart person. David Issay of the StoryCorps founder is here. I've interviewed this photographer years ago.
Camilo Jose Vergara?
Yes.
I'm really excited. He has a new book. So he did that book, Unexpected Chicagoland. Is that what you interviewed him about?
Yep.
Yeah.
He also did a series. He also did a series of storefront churches, some kind of an exhibition somewhere. He's an interesting, fascinating guy.
Apparently his new book, he's going to Detroit and photographing the same places over time. So it's almost like slow motion time-lapse photography, or maybe I've got that backwards. But so he's someone who's very interested in sort of what's happening to cities and how they change over time. But using the medium photography, he's also, he's a documentary guy, right? He makes films.
Yeah.
And then we're wrapping up the day with, and Juan Salgado will be talking with Natalie Moore. So that's going to be exciting because he's from the Instituto del Progreso Latino. And someone who's been working in neighborhoods for years around education. So him and Natalie Moore talking about segregation, what do cities need, how do we bring people together. And then we'll wrap it up with Matthew Desmond, whose new book, Evicted, has just got everybody talking.
Yeah, I know. Right? Well, and Alex Kotlowitz, who's
in conversation.
All of his books.
Yeah.
This program is stunning.
Yeah.
People will go, do you think, for the entire day?
We hope so.
Is that your notion? Is that the Humanities Festival notion to go for the whole day?
Right. I mean, you could come and have an amazing experience at each one of conversations, but we're hoping it becomes like a conversation unfolds over the day. And, you know, we've been trying to do things with our programs, like have talkbacks afterwards. So, because the audience goes and then you have this amazing experience and you want to do something that, you want to go talk among yourselves or, you know, figure out a plan. So we'll try to have some things happening in between that encourage people to stay for the whole day. We're doing it in partnership with the MacArthur Foundation. So of the six, five are you know, part of the fellowship, the MacArthur Fellowship, yeah, as we know, the Genius Grant. So a lot of interesting people there. And
where is this thing?
Venue 610 is inside the Spertus
Institute.
So they'll all take place in there. It's a great facility. We'll see what happens. Under Philip, we're in an era of experimentation. We have a new artistic director as well. And so there's a lot of creativity, and we're trying different things.
Yeah.
We don't know what we'll bring, but it's exciting to try and think about how to kind of engage through through conversation.
I love this idea of the one-day thing.
Oh, good.
No, seriously, I do. It's not just the P, and you could, I can't imagine a better lineup of people, some of whom I know. But the one day thing is a great, great idea. There, you're not forced then to have 75 events under one umbrella.
Right.
You just do a one. Here's the umbrella, and here are the six people who are going to do this, and figure out how it can stop raining on urban cities in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's a daunting prospect. What a great thing for you, Allison Cuddy. I'm sure you miss radio a bit, but you're involved. This is, I think, something really, really great for you.
It's exciting, you know. I mean, you know it. You're part of the conversation that's going on in the city, and to help make that happen in any small way, and to give people the opportunity, or like to just see what people are wanting to talk about, you know, and try and find a way for the festival to reflect that.
What's coming in the fall? What's the big thing in the fall?
Well, we haven't made any announcements yet.
Oh, you haven't?
Yet.
Okay. So, it's 160 different events focusing on radio.
Right.
No, joking.
No, it's going to be, last year, as I said, we were focused on citizens and, what's the state of citizenship and all these different things that are putting pressure on our ideas of citizenship.
Yeah.
So we're trying to be relevant. And
oof.
And I can guarantee that this year's theme will also be tapping into something that all of us are experiencing right now and trying to find different ways into why does it matter? I mean, I think that's the big thing that we ask at the Humanities Festival.
Exactly.
You can talk a lot about what's going on, but I think people want to talk about why it's happening.
No
right?
question. And also, I mean, it's not inherently the aim of the Humanities Festival, but it certainly starts the conversation about solutions.
Mm, yeah.
It really does. Allison, it is great to see you, and it's great to see you so happy and creative. Go to ChicagoHumanities.org and keep posting. Come back on, and we'll talk fall whenever you're ready.
We'd love to do that.
Whenever you're ready.
It was great to see you,
I miss you.
Rick.
Yeah, you
miss
too.
You too.
Honey. You too. You too. I miss you. Coming up, I'll be talking to Nicholas Hirsch. He's the assistant conductor of the Baltimore Symphony Orchestra. But much more importantly, he's the son of Phil Hirsch, the great, great sports writer for former sports, he's probably writing for somebody, but he used to write for the Tribune, so you may remember the byline. Elif is doing an incredible job producing. Adam is always, ever, a genius engineer. Stay tuned. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. It's not quite 10 o'clock, but it's getting close, and the news... Roger, you can take
I'm
this
ready.
30 say, yeah, you're oh. always ready. What are you talking about?
You're
always
you.
You're always ready. You and I should do a humanities festival sometime.
I would love to.
What would it be, though? Allison, now we don't have to come up with an idea.
You know
Allison Cuddy will come up with the idea.
That's true.
Don't you
I
think?
Would love to revisit the classics, but not like sit and read the whole thing, but read significant passages that impact people's lives.
Nice idea.
I like it.
Nice idea. I'm not sure I've written any of those passages, but it's a nice idea.